Welcome to the You Can Tell the Children podcast, a place where sharing God's word with the next generation in your circle of influence can be simple, easy, and fun. We know that intentionally teaching children about God and the relevancy of his word will be a game changer in their homes, schools, and communities. This podcast is a ministry of Bible to School, experts in engaging children with the word of God. Together, we will make sure that you can tell the children about the love of Jesus. Ready, set, let's go. Welcome back to the You Can Tell the Children podcast, a ministry of Bible to School. I'm your host, Meredith Steidler, and this is episode 132. As believers, we all know the first most important hour of our day is our time with God. But can you guess what the second most important hour is? Mealtime with family. Corey and Lee provide some interesting stats on the benefits of eating together around the table. And I have a hunch you'll be pleasantly surprised. Before heading out today, make sure you are subscribed to this podcast so you catch all the episodes. After hitting that subscribe button, go ahead and share this episode with a new friend. One share can help us reach a totally different audience. And this means the message of Jesus continues to be spread throughout the nation. Now that's good news. Are you a fan of our podcast? Consider being a You Can Tell the Children sponsor so we can stay on the air. To learn more about this, go to the resources tab on our website, bible2school.com, and click on Podcast Impact Team. Are you ready to hear all about the second most important hour of your day? Join Corey and Lee's conversation right now.
Well, Corey, welcome back to the You Can Tell the Children podcast.
Thanks, Lee. Always great to be with you.
I love getting to be together. We are talking about something that's very fun this morning. Super excited to have this kind of lighthearted, kind of serious conversation today. Lots of statistics that are hilarious and very fun.
Yeah, we're talking about the second most important hour of your day. So tell me, Lee, what is the first most important hour of your day?
It involves the coffee pot in the morning. Actually, it involves my Bible and my coffee pot, right? Like, most important time is your time with Jesus.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes. Starting the day, thanking him, praising him, learning about him. I was just learning about Daniel, how he totally rescued Daniel this morning in my devotions. But I mean, you know, there's busy moms out there. And even if it's like 15 seconds of a verse or Lord help me, if you're really busy, it doesn't have to be a long time, but that is either 5 minutes or an hour. It doesn't matter. It's the most important time of your day to start your day with God and to make sure that you have him front and center in your life.
I totally agree. I often think about when Jesus told us in John 15, that apart from him, we can do nothing. And, you know, I can do some things without really having spent time with him in the morning. But if anything's going to really matter, it is going to be infused with Jesus. So, yep, starting there is kind of a non-negotiable for me. But the second most important hour, Corey, that is what is up for debate today. And you have a strong hypothesis.
Sure, you might not really guess this, but the second most important hour of your day is mealtime with your family. That is very, very crucial. And I honestly, when I was young, my dad actually had three jobs. And so we were struggling as a family, but he always came home for dinner at night. And then he would go back out. I remember him getting dressed in his tie and going out again he was a real estate agent at night. But I just remember that was his connection time with us. It sounds really, really simple to get together with your family, but it isn't. It's harder and harder to get together. I mean, you know, you're a taxi mom too. It's sports activities and games and competitions and music lessons. But I have some cool information today. So listen up, listeners. Kids who eat together with their families each week reap amazing benefits. So are you ready for them? Because I have a whole bunch of them today for you.
I am so ready for these.
Okay. So people who eat together, kids who eat together with their families each week They're more likely to graduate from college. They're more likely to eat fruits and vegetables. I thought that was
funny. I love that. I do too. I think that's hilarious.
Because people are staring at them and they're like, everybody's going to eat this. They're less anxious. I thought that was very interesting. The stress reduction. Yeah.
Especially in a time when we know that anxiety rates among children are climbing dramatically. That's fascinating that just being together around a dinner table can lower everyone's stress level.
Yeah, it's just connecting with other people. Like sometimes I think we talk about that isolation thing. And just even the mere fact of slowing down, just it makes you sit down and slow down. You're not running a mile a minute. You're not eating in the car. It just is a top benefit that's identified by a lot of different sources out there. I just think about, I had a mentor one time who looked at me. And I'm like, I have this wrong. This is going, blah, blah, blah. I'm talking to her. And she's like, okay, I'm going to have you do one thing. You're going to sit and you're going to breathe. And I think about her when I sit down to think about just breathe. And sometimes that act of slowing down, just sitting down at the dinner table, taking a breath before you get to eat, makes people less anxious. So it makes children less anxious too. So that's a cool pace that you can slow down there. Children who have frequent family dinners are 45% less likely to have tried alcohol. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it lowers our kids' level of risk. That is an involvement in high-risk behaviors. That's fascinating. Probably because they're going to look their parent in the eye that night, you know?
That's exactly right. Now, I saw something, it's called the Family Dinner Project. And it's like a nonprofit organization that I saw that they're dedicated to helping families through food, fun, and conversations about things that matter. And I thought that was interesting. I'm applying this spiritually, but they say that these are all the benefits they say on this website. They say better academic performance, higher self-esteem, greater sense of resilience, lower risk of substance abuse, which we just talked about. They have lower risk of teen pregnancy, lower risk of depression, lower likelihood of developing eating disorders, lower rates. I know. I thought that was interesting. And lower rates of obesity, although you think you get there, you know, when my boys get to the table, man, they were hungry. They were going. But it's a routine and a pattern where you can work with that and pay attention to that as parents and what's happening with their eating, I guess. Better cardiovascular health in teens. Bigger vocabulary in preschoolers because they're trying to vie for, you know, their place at the table, right?
I don't doubt that for one second, actually. The exposure to language is a part of developing vocabulary. And you do that when someone's talking to you. We're talking right by you.
Yeah. Yeah. Good habit, good schedule for your family. And then just healthier eating patterns in general for everybody. So I thought those were very interesting benefits that we just don't even think about because it's a time of connection. It's a time of really paying attention to each other. And then one of the things I know you were talking about is that, you know, kids actually learn how to communicate, but better yet, how to listen.
Yeah. It's been really important in our family to have dinner together, but because our kids span, I mean, really 9 years difference between the oldest and the youngest, the youngest has had to learn to listen to conversation with our oldest, but they didn't have capacity to understand at the time. It wasn't that we were talking over them. They just didn't know what that was all about, but it's been a really good practice. It's sometimes dangerous, right? Like they hear things and they're picking up on things that our teenager is doing. But at the end of the day, our oldest is benefiting too from learning how to interact with children, how to discuss things in an age-appropriate way, when it's appropriate to say something, when you need to table a conversation for later. It really has been good, just completely across the spectrum.
Or even just waiting their turn, the idea of politeness, of not interrupting each other. Have you ever been at a dinner table with other families where their kids are interrupting each other and grabbing everything across the table? And my dad would have had a heart attack with that kind of stuff because he was always like, be very polite. But it is good. It's a great time to teach people to be polite to each other and what that looks like. And it's okay to do that. know, to teach kids politeness there and not just be, if you're rushing, 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 politeness goes out the window, right?
Let's pause right now and take a question from one of our Bible to School kids.
Will I see my family again when we're all in heaven?
From what we read in the Bible about heaven and those who are there, it is very logical to think that we will see and recognize other people in heaven. For example, when Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus on the mountaintop, the disciples could easily recognize who was there. What a celebration it will be to be reunited with family members in heaven.
This was interesting to me too, Lee, is that teens who have frequent family dinners are more likely to have higher quality relationships with their parents.
Mm.
Why do you think that is, Lee? You have teenagers now, mine are older now, but I was thinking you're in the thick of things. Why do you think that you have a higher quality of relationships?
I guess I don't know for sure, Corey, but I do see that teenagers often isolate themselves from their parents. You know, it's a time when they're really learning to develop autonomy. And that's really good. Actually, that's a part of how God designed that time to be. But as we both know, left to their own devices, our teenagers aren't necessarily wise. And so that's prefrontal cortex development. It's all age appropriate things. It's just, I think family dinners give us a chance to look our kids in the eye, have conversations that matter, and for them to understand that not only are we ready to give advice and wisdom, but we're also willing to engage and listen to them. A lot of teenagers just want an adult who will listen.
Which brings me to the Harvard study that I looked up. What it showed that 80% of teenagers claim family dinner is a time they are most likely to talk with their parents. So if you're skipping the family dinner, those teenagers probably don't have time to talk to you. And they're busy in their phones and they're on the run. They're going here. You know, they have all kinds of things that they schedule last minute. So like, even if you're trying to talk to them in the kitchen, they're already thinking of where they're going next. You know what I mean? Or trying to talk to them in the living room. They're already moving. So, but this, again, this dinner table, the second most important hour of your day, makes you stop, breathe, eat, listen, talk, concentrate on your family, basically.
I think this is so good, but we both know not only does it have really practical and functional benefits, but there are spiritual benefits to having time around the table with our kids if we're willing to seize those, right?
Oh, yeah. This is where we wrestled with faith issues. This is where they actually would bring it. You know, well, why is God, you know, allowing bad things to happen to good people? I mean, those are really good questions, you know, and we had the answers and sometimes we had to dive into the Bible together and talk further about it. But I love Proverbs 4:10-11. It says, "Listen, my son, accept my words and you will live many years. I am teaching you the way of wisdom. I am guiding you on straight paths." Now I have to laugh because, like I told you, my kids are, you know, in their 20s and now going into their 30s, and they only come back to you and tell you how smart you are after their teenage years usually. So you're giving them that wisdom, but yeah, all of a sudden we became brilliant when they started living on their own. We were very smart.
I am very much awaiting those days right now. I hear that's true, but when we're doing this, discipling our kids, it really is seizing that Deuteronomy chapter 4 thing that you and I often talk about, where the Lord tells us to love the Lord our God with all our hearts, all our soul, all our mind, and then to impress these things on our children while we walk along the road, while we sit, while we lie down. And this is a part of that sitting where it can be very intentional, and we're going to talk about how to make that intentional. But really, it just starts with a conversation. I really think this is like the while you walk along the paths, while you sit down kind of thing. It's like, while you're hanging out, this is when we get to disciple our kids.
Well, I always thought it was funny because, you know, you think you want to sit down and just look your kids in the eye and just start talking. But when they're doing something, believe it or not, like at the dinner table, they're eating and they're this and they're that, and they're passing this and pouring that, it actually helps them talk to you. It actually helps them concentrate, believe it or not. And the other thing, Lee, is at the dinner table, whether it's breakfast or dinner, it doesn't matter, but you're creating space for them to ask questions. That's huge at Bible to School. You know, we work for a public school ministry. We teach the Bible to public school kids during their school day. And we have a large group teaching time where you have teachers talking at them. But then we have that small group time. And that's the key thing where they're actually around a table. Most of the time they're eating lunch. And some of these kids don't have dinner table families that will sit down. So I noticed how crucial this is for you just to create space for them. Like, even if they don't come to the table with, oh, I have a question, but the conversation will spark spiritual questions that would never happen before unless you actually sat and talked about God a little bit, you know, and started sparking their questions that they didn't even know they had. So love, love, love creating space for them to ask questions, creating time for them to really think through some faith issues if they want to, if it connects with where the conversation is going.
I love that. So we've already established this is the second most important hour of the day. But let's make this really, really practical, Corey, because there's overwhelmed moms listening, grandmas who maybe see that this is a need even in their grandparenting years, or those who are leading kids. What are some practical ways that we can make this mealtime hour really productive?
Well, first and foremost, you need to schedule it. You need to put it on your calendar. You need to make it happen. It is your responsibility to, and I say your, if there's a dad listening, there's a mom listening, there's a grandparent listening, I don't care who you are out there. If this is on your heart, if this really resonates with you to have a meal with your family or a meal with kids in your life that are that you're influencing, put it on your calendar and make it happen. And it doesn't have to be spectacular. It could be breakfast. Like I said, it could be lunch. It could be dinner. But I do have one rule that I'm telling you, that no technology at the table. Get those phones out of there. Put them on silent. My son, I laugh. He had his football buddies in high school, and he noticed around the table they went out to eat and they're all looking at their phones. And he said, okay, the new rule for the team is that we put it all in all our phones in the middle of the table. And anybody that goes and picks it up and just automatically picks it up or something accidentally, they pay for dinner for everybody.
Oh, that's intense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Not even an iPad video for the baby. The baby gets to be involved in their high chair with dinner. So just really taking that out of the equation, taking technology out of the equation, totally relational.
You know, so this is actually a great rule for parents too. Just as guilty of watching a phone ding and thinking it's just going to be a second, but we're teaching them, whether we mean to or not, that they cannot handle being separated. And that's just not true.
Yeah, because I grew up where there was no cell phones. And so, like, the world did not crumble. We had our phones off for an hour. And I don't think it will now. So that's a real big thing. So schedule it. No technology. It doesn't have to be perfect, especially you moms out there. It can be frozen pizza. It can be any type of meal you want. It doesn't have to be, linen napkins and all that. There's going to be fighting at the table. You know, there's always bickering of some sort, or it's not going to be perfect. It's not going to be some kind of like perfect movie like on TV, but that's okay. That's okay. You're still together, and there's still a big benefit for your family. And I do have to say, not every time is going to be a home run. You're going to sometime have dinner, and I don't know, we always spilled milk when we were kids. What is it about, there's like a season where everybody's spilling stuff? And
Yes, we know that season well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have stories about that, about your family. Mine, we had a table that had leaves in it, so it like could come flip up or flip down. So there was like this little crack in the middle of it. And so when we spilled milk, it went all the way down through the cracks and everybody's running around trying to get towels under the table, up the table. It was really, yeah, it was, we just kind of actually laughed because it got to be funny. So,
you know, I think that when we're starting things like that, we just so want it to go well that a lot of times we just squeeze the joy out of what is happening. And it is 1,000% better to laugh about what's happening and just keep trying than it is to like white knuckle this time together. Like, this is a process. It's not always perfect. It's not perfect when we gather as adults with my parents. Yeah. Like, there's sometimes squabbling. There's sometimes where there's a collective eye roll. But at the end of the day, we really enjoy these time together. And we look back on what happened when we were being raised, you know? And I really don't remember spilling milk at my parents' table, even though I'm sure that happened. I am sure that we did the exact same things that we fought. We didn't always listen, but I look back thinking now, hey, my parents cared enough to have dinner with me. You know, actually, Corey, we didn't eat at home very much when I was growing up. And so I know that there are families that are listening that mom doesn't like to cook and you do go out a lot. You can have a family dinner table out in public in a restaurant too. It just requires even greater intentionality to like shut out everything else and to really engage at the table, right?
Yeah, that intentionality is key. And brings us to the next thing is including God in your conversation. And I don't mean that it's forcing him in, you know, in there. Anne Voskamp said, eat spiritual food when you eat physical food.
Mm-hmm.
Eat spiritual food when you eat physical food. I thought that was really good. I mean, you know, grab a verse and read it to your kids and say, hey, this verse really meant something to me today. Or have a short, like a short devotional book. I don't know. You said that at your table, you asked for prayer requests, right?
Oh, yeah. I often start dinner, you know, with a short prayer. And then at the end of the meal, we usually pray together too. But usually what I say is, hey, do you guys know anything we should be praying about right now? And quite often it involves their friends, right? Like sometimes it's their grade. Sometimes it's, I'm not getting along with my basketball team. But quite often it's about a friend coming to know Jesus or parents that are getting divorced or something like that, that really it's a state of the union when you gather in prayer as a family, kind of figure out what is going on in their hearts too. Mm. It's really, really rich.
Yeah. And honestly, sometimes I'm sure there's going to be like, well, what do we talk about? You know, well, if you're having your first most important hour of the day where you're having your devotion, like I would talk to my kids about Daniel, because I'm like, I learned this from Dad. So you talk about something cool you learned from your devotional time with God and ask them what they think about it. And that usually gets conversation going. Yeah, including God intentionally in your conversation. Or even saying, hey, wow, this, you know, we won this basketball game or something. I'm like, man, God is good because at the beginning of the season, you guys weren't playing as a team and now you are. And that's so cool the way God allowed everybody to kind of mold. So just always intentionally bring it back to God. And that's, I wouldn't say always, but as much as you can, bring it back to God. And then the next thing is, besides including God, ask good questions. And you have two questions that you always ask. Let's hear it.
Yeah, we always ask, what was the high of the day and what was the low of the day? But we all go around and share a high of the day. And sometimes, Corey, we never make it to the low of the day or any other question. We're just busy listening to what was the high of the day. And this is especially helpful with my melancholy child who just always, you know, Eeyore. I can't even indicate the gender, but there's a child in my house who is always kind of down, always yes. looking yes. at the and yeah. this is great because everybody's sitting around thinking like, okay, today was a really hard day, but where did we see God show up? And
that's that huge.
Ridiculous. It just is. Sometimes it's like this moment right now is the best part of my day. And I love even that answer, Corey. You probably do something like this too. What kinds of things did you do?
Well, I always ask them, you know, how was your day, of course? And then they would say, good, like every time. Even my husband says that to this day. And I say, well, what was good about it? And then they have to explain. So you ask open-ended questions, like, you know, and you go kind of deeper into the next level questions as well. Well, what was good about it? well, why was that good? You know, so it kind of makes them kind of unpack it for you. And you know,
this is an art form though, Corey, like learning to ask good questions. And yeah. I am so grateful. There's this little box of questions, like silly questions you can ask your kids. There are books about this. There's a little card box that we use that, I mean, when I can't think of anything else to say, it's like, you know, would you rather questions or where would you like to go on vacation if we could leave right now? You know, like I understand not everybody's good at questions, but fortunately we can buy tools that help us be good at questions.
Oh, and that brings us to the last thing is have fun. You're creating memories. You truly are. And my best memory of my family when I was young was that we just laughed together. We laughed all, like there were some, one time my sister had broken her finger and, you know, she was really shy. And she said, you know, well, how did you break your finger? And she had this silly game that they were playing. And my dad just busted up laughing. I'm like, what game were you? And my brother starts laughing. We just all contagiously just started laughing because, you know, here she is with this. She thought she was going to get in trouble for, you know, breaking her finger and, you know, doing something wrong or something. And, you know, my dad thought it was hilarious, not that she would get in trouble, but it was just funny because he was so such a grave thing. And all of a sudden it was a silly name of a game. And we all started laughing. So it is good to laugh together. My father-in-law, this is a tradition at our actual extended family dinners. He has a list of dad jokes. And they're so bad. I mean, we all kind of groan. I mean, and we laugh because they're so bad. So dad jokes are good. And then even, you can pull in, hey, tonight's Italian night. You know, tonight's Taco Tuesday. Tonight, you can pull in fun things, themes for dinner that night. So, which can cause conversation. So there you go. Those are some ideas for you to schedule it. No technology. Doesn't have to be perfect. Include God in it when you're talking. Ask really good questions and then next level questions. Don't be afraid to be fun and silly. And man, create those memories with these kids because there are a lot of benefits. I mean, we just listed a whole bunch. They're practical, they're real, but it's also spiritual. You're also discipling at the same time. I love multitasking.
I know you do. And I love it when my kids eat their vegetables. So that's why we're going to sit around the family dinner table. So Corey, this has been such a fun episode, but really at the end of the day, it's very important that we're making time for connection. So Corey, could you do us a favor and pray that, I mean, this is challenging sometimes to carve this out in our schedule. Would you pray that we would be able to do that?
Yeah. And I do want to tell people it doesn't always have to be every day. Like you can do it once, two, three times a week. And it's very, very impactful. So let us pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for the dinner table. We thank you for this very important hour in the day, in the week, that we can intentionally connect with our children, no matter what age they are. We're all coming together and we're sharing our lives with each other. We are sharing a meal with each other. We are listening to each other. We are talking with each other. Lord, we are connecting dots of where we saw you in the day or saw you in the week. And Lord, we are just having fun and connecting with you, connecting with each other, and strengthening our lowering anxiety, lowering the feeling of isolation. And just you created us to have a community, to be in community. And the first community you create us to be in is our families. So, Lord, I pray that we just invest time in that. If we're grandparents, that we can invest time with our grandchildren the same way. I know my kids love their grandparents, and they love spending time with around the table with them my particular grandmother feeds them until they're stuffed. And that's fun too. So Father, we love you and we thank you for our families. We thank you for this opportunity to connect with you and each other. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen.
So who's ready to have preschoolers with bigger vocabularies? While I was happily surprised by some of these stats surrounding the benefits of having mealtime with my family, I was super encouraged by the practical advice Corey and Lee provided to make this goal a reality. And how freeing to know that it can look different for everyone and it doesn't have to be perfect. If you love listening to this podcast, please take a moment to give us a genuine rating and review. Just scroll down to the end of the show on your podcast app, tap to rate where you see those stars, and click write a review. Thank you so much for partnering with us as we spread the gospel of Jesus to families across this nation. Join us here next week as Elizabeth Urbanowitz helps us answer the question, what is truth? Until then, friends, remember, you can tell the children about the second most important hour of their day.